AutoLine After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. And by Chevrolet, Chevy runs deep.
You're just seconds away from an AutoLine exclusive. The After Hours Automotive Draft is coming right up. Welcome to the second annual AutoLine Automotive Draft. I'm your announcer, Kara Ann Marie, from Productions Plus, The Talent Shop. We'll be broadcasting from two sites tonight. The first is AutoLine Draft Central, here in the main studio, where we'll meet this year's team owners in a bit. But also from what we call our war room, the home of our resident automotive experts. And here's our draft reporter, Tiffany Stone, to introduce the guys who really need no introduction. Tiffany?
Thank you, Kara. I'm here in the war room with two fine gentlemen. We have Scott Burgess from AOL Autos and Mark Phelan from the Detroit Free Press. Guys, I've heard there's new categories this time. So what are you predicting for this draft?
I think it's going to be an incredible draft. We're going to learn a lot about dead executives. We're going to learn probably even more about all of these other groups of people that that are part of the auto industry but haven't really been counted on before.
Well, and it's fun to see because it helps us figure out what do people think is most important at a car company. I mean, if you were starting a car company, would you pick a great engineer? Would you pick a designer? Would you pick somebody who knows how to sell cars? Would you pick somebody with a name that nobody knows how to spell? That's the thing that we fear most of all here in the war room, unspellable names.
But that's okay. We have our iPads here. We have this up here, actually.
Cool technology.
Cool technology. Scott put a high for everybody. So we have all these things. I'm ready. I'm interested to see what we're getting into tonight. So back to you, Kara. We'll see. This is our war room.
Thanks, Tiffany. We'll look forward to both Mark and Scott's insightful and amusing analysis throughout the night. Back here at Draft Central, let me introduce our team owners, starting with a couple that you'll no doubt remember from last year's draft, John McElroy from AutoLine and Dymaxion Motors, along with Jim Hall of 2953 Analytics, the head of Automobiles Bustango. Ready to take them on this year are three new team owners, including Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com and her team, the Edmunds iMobility Company. Then also joining us is the head of the Jaeger Motor Car Company, who also does a little something at Motor Trend and Motor Trend Classic, Mr. Todd Lassa. And finally, rounding out our table tonight is Drew Winter from WardsAuto.com and his team, the New America Motors. But right now, let me toss it to the table, starting with John, and have each of our owners tell us a bit about their company, its names, and what they hope to accomplish in tonight's draft. Take it away, John.
Thank you. Well, as you all remember from last year, the name of my company is Dymaxion Motors. I've chosen that name because Dymaxion is a word that came up with the brilliant inventor and car designer, by the way, a poet and a philosopher, really a creative genius, and the guy was Buckminster Fuller. He designed a car in the early 1930s called the Dymaxion that I still believe the automotive industry has not yet caught up to. And that's why I've named my company Dymaxion, and that's why I've chosen the geodesic dome as the logo or the symbol for my company, because Bucky Fuller also invented the geodesic dome. If you don't know anything about him, check him out, especially check out his Dymaxion car, and I've named my company in honor of him because I think he's one of the all-time greats. Jim, I'll throw it to you.
Bustango, Automobiles Bustango is named for, of course, the original Bustango, a extremely low-volume but very exclusive manufacturer based in Andorra. One of the unique things about all the Bustangos, whether they were the 24-cylinder Lorena or even the 7-cylinder La Bodega, they all had little compartments around them where things could be hidden because, of course, Andorra's largest industry is smuggling. Todd?
The Jaeger Motor Car Company was established in 1932 in Belleville, Michigan, by a man named Walter Jaeger, a German immigrant who 3 years earlier built a house, English Tudor in nearby Ferndale, and where my wife and I now live. And Jaeger was an inventor who worked with rotary engines. He had a patent for a crude kind of independent rear axle, and he was actually successful, even though he only built 5 Jaeger motor cars. We're going to continue that tradition.
Of only building 5?
Well, we're going to start. We'll start with 5 because you can only start with 1 car at a time. So,
that's so true. Michelle?
I'm Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com. I named my company Edmunds iMobility Company to give it a futuristic feel because at Edmunds we're all about the consumer, so that puts the I back into mobility. And we don't know what mobility in the future will be. Will it be that you own a car? Will it be that you, you know, ride in one that drives itself? Whatever that will be, is we're looking for the future, and we're looking to make the consumer the center of that. Drew?
Well, I'm Drew Winter, chairman of New America Motors. And here at New America Motors, we recognize that America is changing, the world is changing, buyers are changing demographically, ethnically, in all sorts of ways that the traditional automakers really don't understand. And so we're devising a new company to address all those needs in a variety of ways. And I also have to mention today that I have no comment on a report that a major internet company is going to be soon investing $5.25 billion in our company. So it'd be inappropriate for me to say anything at this point because I would hate to put a damper on the evening by having an enormous advantage over all my other competitors.
Just before we dive into everything, let me run down the few rules that we do have here. You kind of got a little preview from the war room already, so you can see they're a little different from last year's wide open affair. Tonight, our team owners have to make choices from 5 distinct categories, including female executive, minority executives, under 40 execs, retired executives, and deceased executives. Now, to make their teams even stronger, our owners will have 2 wild card choices where they can draft any living auto executive they want. But the important thing to remember is that by the end of our 7 rounds, each owner has to have a pick for each of our required categories. Okay, let's wrap up all the prelims. So now let's head over to the main table for the first choice in the 2012 Auto Line After Hours Draft. And that pick is made by Jim Hall from Automobiles Bestango.
I'm probably going to do this entirely in the wrong way from the way other people are going to do it. I'm going to start with a wild card. One of the things I want to say is last year I picked people that if I could pick them this year, I'd pick the same guys. I really would. And that's why my first pick is the guy I picked for my CEO last year, Martin Winterkorn. The guy that heads Volkswagen is managing, what is it now, 9 brands in vertical chimneys that, with the exception of maybe one of them, all are making a fair amount of money and making cars people want to buy. He understands product. He understands design. He understands how you have to make money doing it. That's what I want in my company. And that's why Winterkorn, you know, we can't do better than the best.
Well, you are going back to somebody you chose last year.
I am, yeah, but because I was afraid he'd disappear. And he is one of the guys that I think, you know, Volkswagen is something that you look at it, and people say it's a many-headed hydra, and it can't really be very effectively managed. And the truth is, every year they do everything they do a little better than the year they did before.
They're making more money than any car company in the world. That ought to explain everything
Absolutely.
About how hard that
With
is
cars
to manage.
That people line up to buy in a lot of countries and spend a lot of money for cars. I mean, they have some very expensive, very nice automobiles. I'll take a long-termer Vitesse. Thank you.
With the second choice in the 2012 Autoline After Hours Draft, Todd Lassa from Jaeger.
Well, I'm sorry to contradict you, Jim, but I'm picking a wild card, too, because for the same reason, I'm afraid that someone else will pick my first choice. And his name is Wolfgang Dürheimer. He will be Jaeger's CEO. He's CEO of Audi AG, having just come from Bentley and having done extensive work at Porsche. He's got a great product development engineering background. He will be Winterkorn's replacement at some point when Winterkorn retires and you have to put him in the retirement category.
He'll be leaving soon, making, you know, we've cleaned out the top of Volkswagen. You realize that?
We have. And actually, anybody who makes it this far under Mr. Piach probably deserves a first-round draft pick in any one of our categories.
Kaiser Piach.
No, that's another auto company, actually. And we know how that turned out. So same reasons, obviously. Volkswagen is in great shape. Dürrheimer has had a lot to do with both Porsche, before Porsche was part of Volkswagen or fully part of Volkswagen, and with other successes at Volkswagen. And now he's moved on to Audi, and if I don't pick him, they'll move him to the top no matter what.
With the third choice in the 2012 AAH Automotive Draft, from Dymaxion Motors, here's John McElroy.
Well, my choice is pretty easy. I'm going with one of the official categories that we've got here. And the hardest one, the one I had to rack my brains about, was choosing executives under 40 years old. And, it's hard because there's a lot of good people who are under 40, but they're not yet, for the most part, in any position of prominence. So it's hard to choose, here's somebody who's really going to go to the top in the long run. I wanted to go with Hau Thai-Tang from the Ford Motor Company, the guy who, ran SVT at Ford. He played a key role in the Mustang. He was running an important part of the Brazilian operations. He's back here in the U.S. right now. But Hau is too old. I think he's 40 or 41. He looks like he's 28, so I should be able to use him. But that doesn't work. So in racking my brains, I came up with a guy named Dave Coleman. Dave is a product development manager, or engineer, I should say, at Mazda USA. He might actually be 40. I don't know how old this guy is. And the reason I chose him is I was on the launch for the Mazda CX-5 earlier this year, and that guy gave a technical presentation on the attributes of that vehicle that is one of the best technical presentations I have ever seen in my career. He used to work with one of the magazines.
Sport Compact,
exactly right. So, he's got a journalism background to him, but the guy knows product, the guy knows how to communicate. And those tend to be things that will help people in their careers. I've got my fingers crossed. I hope he's under 40. But Dave Coleman, product development engineer from Mazda USA, is my choice in that category.
I don't know. Picking someone who used to work for a car magazine, I'm not sure that's a great idea.
Why? I should have picked you, and then you would have thought it was a great idea.
you'd have to show me the money first.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to get some of Drew's billions from his internet investor.
Choosing fourth in the first round is Michelle Krebs from Edmunds iMobility Company.
Well, same thing. I racked my brain trying to think of executives under 40, and I'm sure there are a lot of wonderful, talented people out there, but we don't know them yet. They haven't surfaced. But because I am heading a company that's very much about the future, I looked outside of the industry, and I am going with Larry Page of Google. And if you don't think Google's not got something to do with the auto industry, you better think again, because they own all the search. Type in Ford Escape, Chevy Cruze. It's on Google. everything. Yes, exactly. He's a futuristic thinker. They're looking at autonomous cars of the future.
They lead that technology. They're exactly. Number one in the world.
He's obviously thinking way ahead, which is what my company needs. The other thing is they're experimenting to be a competitor of Edmunds, a way to do car shopping. They're doing an experiment in San Francisco of selling sales leads, that kind of thing.
So you're sucking up to potentially your future boss.
Yeah, there you go, right. I hadn't thought of that.
What position?
I'll make him CEO chief thinker. Let them fight it out.
Chief thinking officer.
CTO, new position.
Yeah. I like that. I like going out. And how old is he?
He's under 40. I checked.
Okay.
Just.
Today?
Yeah, a few that I looked at were over.
Is his 39 like Jack Benny's 39 or my 49? Okay.
I'll have to look, but it was under 40. I double checked.
I find Google evil in part because of the way they spied on people and in part because of the way they're kind of working on autonomous cars without saying a lot about
it. They make great phones.
No, there's a lot of controversy about that, but I do think that there's an environment of thinking, what's next?
Maybe hiring the opposition is not a bad idea.
So that's my pick.
And with the final choice in the first round of the AutoLine After Hours Automotive Draft, representing New America Motors is Drew Winter.
Well, we're all about doing different things and pushing the envelope. So I'm hoping that my choice won't get me in trouble. But after looking at a lot of candidates and trying to hit that under 40 category, looked around the advertising community and was very impressed by his work with the Jaguar account. And I think that his type of thinking, his kind of creativity, could really work well for us the way he views the world. But a few human resources problems we'll have to work out with him. But I'm picking Don Draper from Draper.
He's with her agency.
Sterling Cooper Draper.
Yes.
Sterling Cooper Draper. And Price died, of course. The poor man committed suicide.
Right.
From
not
dealing
Price.
With Don Draper.
Not Price. But anyway, Don's going to be our head of advertising. He'll probably, we'll still keep him because of the human resources issues and the smoking cessation classes. We'll keep him, probably the account will go to the agency, and we won't hire him outright.
Okay, let's go to the war room for reactions on round one.
Thank you so much, Kara. I'm back here in the war room, these two gentlemen. So we've seen some groundbreaking decisions out there. We've had our little chuckles back here. What do you guys think?
The first thing that I'm wondering about is how deep into the well of fictional characters is Drew Winter going to go? I mean, I am holding out for Pippi Longstockings as chief marketing officer.
Nice.
I mean, there's no telling where this could lead. I mean, you know, certainly the other choices are interesting. Picking the guy who, you know, runs Volkswagen, wow, who could possibly have foreseen that? They're only the most profitable company in the world. But, I mean, when you go for somebody who's fictional and would be dead by now if he were alive, that's surprising on two fronts.
Nice. Good job. Scott?
Well, I find it very interesting that the car makers that are serious about global domination go with the Germans. And both Jim Hall and Todd Lasset picked very capable people. Drew's pick, I thought, was very interesting. Don Draper, not alive, not even real. And so that wasn't one of the categories, so that goes as a wild card pick. I'm also unsure of where some of the other picks are. Michelle, it was very interesting. I think she made the first pick ever that was not in the automotive industry. Larry Page, who was carded for cigarettes because he's so young, is obviously the under 40 pick.
And a brilliant one. I mean, if there's anybody who a car company would actually be really lucky to get from outside the industry, I think, you know, it's probably him. I mean, he's looking at questions in a way that hadn't even occurred to most people.
I have to disagree. I think that, one, any internet person that would come in and an executive like that, their head would literally pop once they had to deal with the auto industry. You're actually making things, not writing code. Not to say that they couldn't do it. You know, Alan Mulally came over from Boeing, but at the same time, that was a manufacturing company.
The one interesting thing is, can the guy who pioneered the idea of driverless cars create cars that people want to drive? If he can answer that question, you know, he's a winner.
Well, chief thinker is quite a title, too. I'm not sure exactly where that fits on the organizational chart, but obviously would be very high up as a number one draft pick.
Well, thank you guys so much for your insight on round one. Make sure you guys stay tuned. But right now, we have a friendly sponsored note from Bridgestone.
An interesting round one, don't you think? So let's go to round two and see who's chosen. This time, we're starting with Jaeger Motors and Todd Lasa.
Thank you. Drew, you're going to get a $5 billion plus IPO with a fictional character. I just had to ask.
It's fictional money.
I'm going to go. I'll save my non.
You said it was okay to have imaginary friends.
I'm going to go to my non-endemic choices picks later on, and I'm going to go straight to the dead people. My choice: the Jaeger Motor Car Company draft pick for dead persons will be the Jaeger Vice President of Engineering, Charles F. Boss Kettering. Specifically, the years, especially 1910 to 1941, and I have just two words: self-starter.
Oh, oh, oh!
Well, you know, obviously, Kettering did, you know, he was at General Motors. He led the engineering team in its heyday. I mean, when they made so many advances in the...
Every year, there were new technological advancements that that customers could see from 27 through 41 at General Motors every year.
Now, remember, too, didn't he run the Dayton Electric Company?
Yes, he did.
He
and
started
he was the head
Delta,
of that,
yes.
which General Motors bought and shortened the
That's
name
how
to
they got
Delco.
Him in the organization, exactly.
To Delco,
right. So, I mean, you know, if he were around today, and I certainly hope he would be because I just picked him, he would be making the types of advances I think necessary to get... a fledgling car company or a well-established car company like the Jaeger Motor Car Company off the ground.
You know, another thing I just learned recently about Kettering, too, is he would travel the country with a checkbook in hand. And when he ran into inventors who had cool stuff, write him a check and bought it right there and then and there.
Although, could you get by calling somebody boss now in 2012? You know, would it be harassment or something?
I think that helps. I mean, we get him some boss suits and use that as an excuse.
Hugo Boss, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, better to call him Boss Kettering than Hugo Kettering.
That's Hugo where I go. Okay, I guess it's my turn then. Back to Dymaxion Motors. I'll dive into the female automotive executives. And that's getting easier to do because there are more women rising to the top in the industry right now. And... there is a number that I would choose from. I was thinking of Grace Liebline, who's running GM do Brasil right now, because that's an entire car company. And clearly, I think they're grooming her because so many other GM execs have come through GM do Brasil to go to the very top of the company. I also thought of Barb Smarditch at Ford, too. I'm really impressed by her great powertrain and engineering background. But I've decided to go with Carla Bailo, who is the head of all product planning for Nissan's Americas. And she's an intriguing woman to me. You know, local gal, as it were, grew up in the Detroit area, spent a good amount of her career over in Japan, has obviously, you know, caught the eye of Carlos Ghosn, who has now promoted her to this position. And I think somebody with a great technical background who's been able to travel the world, who seems fairly well-grounded as a person, would be an ideal executive to have on the team for Dymaxion.
Well, since you didn't take her, I'm taking Barb Smarditch from Ford. I think she is just fabulous. She's now vice president of product development at Ford of Europe, so she's getting a great experience there. She is a car person through and through, worked on Mustangs, worked on powertrains. I hear from inside she's an awesome boss, decisive, no BS. And I think she'd work well with Larry, keep him kind of grounded into real cars. So Barb Smarditch is my pick.
Yeah. Which, for product development?
Oh, I'm sorry, for female. But product development.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like putting people into boxes or dealing with boxes, but for my company, I've got my marketing director, and I do need a visionary, and I want a designer. And but somebody, obviously, to run the company with some business expense. And so I'm picking Ralph Gilles for my CEO of New America Motors. And Ralph, I've just kind of grown up with him, seeing him him evolve as a designer and now as more of a businessman who's doing all sorts of things from racing and just evolving into a really... a person I think who's going to go very far in the auto industry, and I think he's going to really be open to change and be able to move our company where it needs to be moved in design, manufacturing, and everywhere else.
Shameless plug here. He's also the guest on my TV program this weekend. So I think you've made a stupendous choice.
Thank you. Great tie-in, if nothing else.
Okay, you took my design chief. So that means I have to play my dead man card. And I'm going to do that with someone who is arguably the finest automotive designer that ran a large design department ever to live and walk on this planet.
And is this somebody who just recently entered the dead man category?
No. This is William L. Mitchell. And I want William L. Mitchell circa 1963, which was when he was planning the Toronado the Riviera, the Eldorado. He was also responsible at this time. This is when the thinking that got us the 1968 General Motors A cars that were all spectacular. Four-division cars, common architecture, common platforms, and they looked radically different. The man knew how to manipulate design so you would have cars that were distinctive and had a lot of sort of continuity for their brand. I mean, Mitchell, to me, is one of those guys. He was apparently a total to work for, but he was a phenomenal designer that understood design was business, and it was basically how you made people forced, you compelled them to give them money for cars. So I got to say that my dead man play is for William L. Mitchell as my design chief.
And responsible for the 1959 Cadillac tail fins, was he not?
Chuck Jordan. Working for Mitchell. Well, those were all Jordans.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Especially that incredibly horrible photo of Chuck airbrushing the fin. And there's a photo of his son, Mark Jordan, standing next to Chuck, and the fin is taller than Mark at that time.
You've been working for Earl. The car Mitchell's, came out in 59. And
yeah, Mitchell started with Earl, and the Mitchell car that got him all his notoriety was the 1937 or 38 Cadillac 60 Special. Mm-hmm. And when Earl saw that, he realized that Mitchell had it. And from that point on, he was the guy. He was the go-to guy. Mitchell was involved in the design of trains. The infamous General Motors EMD train of tomorrow. And it's pure Mitchell when you see it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a Bill Mitchell train. Guy did great stuff, you know. Even his last car he did that was developed using the codename Madam X and was shown as the Pontiac Phantom was the last thing he did. And it was every Mitchell cliche on one car. It was a boat tail, red fender liners, but it was really spectacular.
Well, my comment about was it somebody who recently entered the dead man contest because Sergio Pininfarina recently just passed away.
And a great designer.
And a great designer, of course.
Off to our draft analysts for a look at round two.
Welcome back, everybody. We are right here in the war room, sitting here still with these two fine gentlemen. Interesting round. A lot of different picks for a lot of different categories. Did one stick out more than the other for you guys?
This one was full of surprises, I think. The thing that really was the most pleasant surprise to me was, you know, Jim Hall was going with designer, great, phenomenal work, dead guy. And I'm thinking Harley Earl, got to be Harley. And he goes Bill Mitchell, which is inspired. Bill Mitchell did so much of the great work that established GM and followed Harley Earl. That one was my favorite choice of this round.
Not only is it interesting to see what categories people are picking from, but what they think are the most important things to a car company, whether it be design, whether it be engineering, whether it be some other element that they think is going to be the most important aspect of that car. On the boards, it was interesting to see Ralph Gilles go. Last year, he was never selected.
That's amazing to me.
And he is by far the prettiest executive in all of the auto industry.
I told you, he had beautiful eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send your legal summonses to Scott Burgess at AOL Autos.
But it's a good group that they're starting to take, and you can see as they're building the teams, the dead people are some of the more interesting ones because there's so many to choose from. I mean, the auto industry has taken a lot of lives.
I cannot top that thought. But I have to say, I think it's really interesting, and it says a lot of good about where the industry is going, that the first two women taken off the board are both engineers. You know, I mean, the fact that some of the best product development people, some of the best engineers in the industry today are women, I think that that's just a real, you know, testament to where the industry has come to.
Absolutely. And one of the final notes, I thought it was really interesting that John's pick, we couldn't figure out who it was. He named a number of people and then looked at Michelle to go.
Yes. That one did stump the band for quite a while, yes. And you know, Boss Kettering, I think just, you know, with Don Draper off the board already and a guy who insisted on being called Boss, that suggests that all of these companies are going to want really strong human resources and legal departments.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be essential in this is the new century, and so you have to be prepared for all those things. I'm surprised that HR isn't a category.
Well, thank you, guys. Now we're heading back to Kara at Draft Central. We're going to go on with round three.
This is getting interesting. Here is round three, starting with Dymaxion Motors.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Which category do I want to go with right now? I guess I'm going to go with minority automotive executives. Boy, if you think that there are not very many women in the automotive industry, and if you don't count women as a minority, boy, now the pickings get very slim. I think probably, Ralph Jules has already been named, and, he's sort of a mixed minority in a way, I guess. And Ed Welburn is probably the best-known African-American in the global automotive industry. But to me, that was too easy of a choice. So I'm going with an executive at Ford who I've got a tremendous amount of respect for, runs all of their quality operations. The guy's name is Benny Fowler. Benny is a guy who likes to stay behind the scenes. He doesn't run out and take the credit. Ford has made tremendous improvements in quality, especially on the manufacturing end. Now, lately, they've gotten dinged because of Sync and My Ford Touch,
which aren't manufacturing issues. They're software from the supplier.
Right. So that does not really impact Benny in that regard, although it does, but
bad design.
But I'm telling you, most people in the industry don't know who, outside of Ford or outside of the quality area, don't know who this guy is. He's a rock-solid citizen. I've been impressed by this guy for years, and especially because he doesn't want to take credit. He always wants to put some of his people in front. And so my choice as the best minority executive right now that I would want at Dymaxion Motors is Benny Fowler.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with a minority category, too, because, again, that was a really difficult one, and it's a tragedy that we don't have more minorities, and not just African Americans. I mean, I think we need more Asians and just much more diversity in the industry. But I'm going to go with Don Butler at Cadillac. Known him a long, long time. A great guy, great integrity. He's going to be my chief marketing officer. He's had global experience. He was in Egypt for a while. Now back at Cadillac, he also had a stint outside of General Motors and was recruited back. So we'll see how well he does on Cadillac, but
well, he's got some new product coming. That's going to help them a lot.
Yes, that will help a lot.
And last month in the U.S. market, Cadillac was the brand that gained the most market share of anybody. So good choice
from
there.
From a big low.
Well, it's again, I hate this idea of checking boxes and filling spots and whatnot, but New America Motors, we need some really innovative approaches, I think, to powertrain and to some new thinking there. And I think that the Chevy Volt is still one of the most magnificent pieces of engineering to come out of Detroit in 30 or 40 years. And I also am been always very impressed with Pam Fletcher, who is the chief powertrain engineer on that car. And I think to be involved with the development of the Volt, you're not only smart, flexible, you also have to be very courageous, because it took a lot of courage to put together that, put all the engineering together and all the people together to make that possible, and then to put up with all the crap that came later and defend your product. And she was just cool as a cucumber through the whole process. I was really impressed with her, and I got to have her on my team.
Good choice.
Yeah.
I've decided I want to start the position of product czar. That this is somebody that has product responsibility across the line. They're not just an engineer. It's about inspiring people to work in the car. And I want someone who has a great background, but also is something of a disruptive element. Akio Toyoda.
Ah, I thought you were going to say Bob Lutz.
No. I'll tell you why. Toyota, right now, there is a crust in Toyota. He knows it's there. He also knows it can't be nuked like it can in some other countries. And there are some things happening in Honda or in Toyota that are phenomenal workarounds where they're trying to take a part of Toyota that's it works like a separate business, and they're going to turn it into an entrepreneurial business. And they've announced that the guy who's sort of responsible for planning is from the U.S. They have people coming from all over the world to do this. And he's the kind of guy you want to sort of stir the pot, because he understands the importance of product, and he loves cars. You know about him racing at the Nürburgring with an assumed identity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had a fake name just so he could go drive, because as soon as they knew it was him, one, the company people weren't going to let him do it. And he snuck out to do it. I mean, it's the kind of guy that you want to sort of stir the pot up and keep people interested.
I think it's a great choice. I really admire what Akio's done in a very short amount of time with the company. You know, the two guys running it before him kind of blew the whole thing up. And a lot of people fought to prevent Akio from coming
exactly.
in. So I'm with you on that one, Jim. I think that's a great choice.
Mike, my only question with that choice would be, is he going to be able to do for Bustango having a name like Toyota? I mean, when you work for a company named Toyota and your name is Toyota, sometimes you can get things done a lot quicker.
I think what we'll do is legally change his name in Andorra to be Bustanga. His last name, so it'd be Akio Bustanga.
No, get his assumed name from when he was racing at the Nürburgring.
Better yet, which is the same. I loved it. It was just one name.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, the driver has no first or last name. No, he's very popular in Japan. They kept telling people that. It's like,
Cher.
Oh, okay. No, it wasn't Cher, but it was an intriguing thing. But, my God.
Jackie Stewart did that. He raced under an assumed name of A period N period other.
When?
So it was A-N other. Very, very early in his career when his parents would not let him race.
Oh, okay.
Race.
Got it.
And that's how he did it. So that's a popular pastime, racing under
with an assumed identity.
Yes.
It seems to be more popular than riding with an assumed identity.
Well, speaking of both shortened names and of stirring the pot, I want someone to stir the pot as well. I want that person to stir the pot as VP of Sales and Marketing because, as Jim has pointed out many times, that's going to be the main battlefront in the coming decade. So Jaeger Motor Car Company's choice for under the minority category for our VP of Sales and Marketing is Jay-Z. Now, he's owner of the 4040 Club, part owner of the NBA Nets, creator of RocaWare, co-founder of Rockefeller Records. I love that part. Founder of the Rock Nation and former CEO of Def Jam Records with 14 Grammys. He's a very astute business person, and I think he would lend a great deal of acumen to the sales and marketing.
So what? He's only got to sell 5 cars.
That's right. Well, and job one at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's got to go out and move 25,000 in a month.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I want him to do is reassess and decide on a new sales target for the company.
What if he comes up with 3?
No. Well, then he's out.
Okay.
You know, because... You know, you just bench them. You know, you get someone else if that's the case.
I want a much larger number. We can come over for drinks.
Okay.
But that's an interesting background. I didn't know all that.
Oh, he's a business guy.
He's very much a business guy. And I think because of his youth, relative youth, and because of his background, he would appeal to the type of customers you want to get into a car company.
Especially one called Jaeger.
Yes. I think the first model, even though it has nothing to do with the drink, the first model we're working on is called the Meister, by the way.
Yeah.
Saw that one coming, huh?
Yeah.
It's better than calling it the Schnitzel.
It's true.
And as we head back to Tiffany and the guys to get a perspective on round 3, I think that answer calls for that snazzy war room graphic. Can we see that again?
Thank you so much, Kara. So I'm really interested that the fact that Jay-Z just got picked. That was quite an impressive round. We were having some laughs back here. Mark, what do you think about that?
It was very surprising. And as you pointed out, Tiffany, he created Beyonce. It's hard to argue with that kind of marketing know-how. I've got to say, as somebody who spends way too much time watching ESPN, the first thing that occurred to me is that he's one of the owners of the Nets, and they haven't been able to get a 7-foot-tall guy to agree to let them pay him $150 million. They're just chasing after Dwight Howard, and they can't. You know, get him to show up. So I think that, you know, that there's, you know, a little bit of question about, you know, what he's been up to lately. But if you look at his track record, he knows how to sell stuff to people.
His songs, amazing.
Well, it was an interesting pick. It's another person that's from the outside of the auto industry. Sometimes a lot of people think that the industry could use some more outsiders coming in. A couple of the other picks were very interesting as well. Fowler, Butler, Fletcher, Toyota. And then, of course, Jay-Z. Unfortunately, I don't really have any good jokes this time around.
Well, it's funny, though. You talk about outsider. Akio Toyoda is trying to be an outsider in the company that, you know, his, I think, grandfather founded, that practically has his name on it. He wants to be a guy who shakes stuff up.
Well, and I also have an issue with this. I think that this should be a wild card choice, not the choice for the minority, because in Japan, Toyota is not a minority. And I thought that the rules were very clear about this. And so, yes, I can.
In Japan, okay? He'd be a minority over here. Okay? Come on, for God's
okay,
sake.
Okay, we'll give you that. We weren't bringing into account the headquarters of the actual industry.
Santa Barbara. Okay?
Except that I thought Bistango was based in Andorra.
No,
you're changing your story, Mr. Ball.
No, headquarters is Santa Barbara, but the financial dealings are all done in Andorra.
Well, and that certainly means that Bistango is a place where you want to put your money. Because nothing says security like Andorran banking. But to get back to the people that we picked, Don Butler is a guy who's done a lot of really good stuff at Cadillac. His name doesn't come up that much. He's not one of the people that gets talked about all the time. That's a real good choice, a very interesting one, I thought.
Yeah, and he's one where I think that there's a lot of room for him to keep moving up. And next year's draft, he'll be picked earlier. And the next year's draft after that, he'll be picked even earlier. The interesting one to me really was Jay-Z this time around. I was just really impressed that Todd knew who Jay-Z was.
and you've got to figure that Jaeger.
Can you hear me, Scott?
Killer sound systems.
But that's about it right now. We're ready for the next round, eagerly awaiting in anticipation.
Are you trying to steal my job over here?
No, I was just trying
to... Do you want to throw it back to Kara at the studios?
Go right ahead.
No, it's your turn. We'll do it together.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, ready? Well, you can see how much fun we're having here in the war room. But, of course, all the intensity is happening over there in the studios. So back to you, Kara.
Well, let's keep it going with the choices for round four. And starting us off is Michelle Krebs.
Oh. Well, I am going to the deceased category. What struck me when I was looking at this was so many of the greats are, you know, they're retired, they're gone. I found it much more difficult to find that outstanding talent. I think maybe some of it has to do with you can't, people aren't accountable as much anymore. They don't stand out in terms of all this teamwork that we have. But I need a chief designer for my company, so I'm going to go with Sergio Pininfarina. Brilliant designer and forward-thinking. I'm looking for people who are forward-thinking. So
he'd also drive you to have one hell of a good company cafeteria, or he'd leave.
Well, there's that.
Is he?
I think his work speaks for itself, so...
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, Pininfarina's designed just about every Ferrari, right? I think every single production Ferrari came out of Pininfarina.
No, but predominantly after about 1969 or 70, the majority of production Ferraris have been Pininfarinas from that point on. But before that, there were Ghia Ferraris and Bertone Ferraris, and the first Dino 8-cylinder, the 308 GT, was a Bertone. And at the time, everybody said, it doesn't look like a Ferrari, and now it's considered quite attractive. But, Pininfarina's done pretty much all the work from, except for one or two cars from 68 on.
It'll be interesting to see if he could do autonomous cars and what they'd look like.
Oh, he'd do a phenomenal job with them. You know, another little-known fact about Sergio Pininfarina is that he was the head of, like, I don't remember the exact name of it, but it was like the Italian Industrial Manufacturers Association kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He was... not just a great designer running his own company.
Well, he had manufacturing facilities.
Right.
They built cars at Pininfarina.
No, I realize that. But yeah. I'm saying for all of Italy,
yes.
You know, industry and unions had to come to him, and he'd sort of be the consigliere who looked over everything. Mm-hmm. And while we, the enthusiasts, know his design work in Italy, he was known as this big industrialist. Mm-hmm.
Remember, Pininfarina also did industrial design. They do kitchens and stuff. So they do way more than cars.
Right.
So now it's me. All right. Well, I'm going to also go to the dead guy category. And I found my concern with there's just such an enormous amount of talent there that it was hard to pick. But I had to think of somebody whose talents could be transferable, even if you're going back a long ways. And then I also have to think about what I needed. And, you know, if I was drafting a hockey team, you want your goal scorers and you want your defensive people but you have to protect your intellectual property too. And we're dealing with we're going to be dealing a lot in China, where it's really tough to protect your intellectual property. So I needed a Bob Probert, I think, of patent protection to get me going and to take us where we need to go. So I looked through history and I found what I think is perhaps the best patent attorney that ever lived, George Selden.
Ooh, interesting choice.
No one was probably, he's never heard of, he's infamous, he was terrible for the auto industry.
They couldn't enforce his patent.
He single-handedly, though, stalled the auto industry for probably decades because he had this crappy patent, but yet he had the best auto builders in the world paying him royalties because he intimidated them, he was good in the courtroom, and it took even Henry Ford, it took 8 years to beat his patent, which turned out wasn't very, very good at all. So I'm picking George Selden as my chief intellectual protection officer, and he's going to especially work in China, protect our patents, and bust heads when necessary. But I think he's my finest choice.
So Drew, what you're saying is instead of actually building cars and making a profit on them,
you're just
sue people, and that's how you're going to make money.
Just like they do in the electronics industry.
Back their $5 billion.
There was a time when Tesla looked like that was their strategy.
No wonder you plan to start with just $5 billion. Yeah.
That's not true. Now we got we have other things, but I simply want to protect our intellectual property. And I looked at this guy. He's the one to do it.
And, I agree. I think that's a fascinating choice because Selden did have the automobile business sewed up completely. Yeah. And it really, if it wasn't for Henry Ford, they'd still be paying patents or royalties to Selden.
Yeah, I mean, according to him, he had a patent that basically connected an internal combustion engine to wheels. And so anybody who invented a car, he figured owed him money.
And you know how Henry Ford beat him is Ford forced him to build his car.
Correct.
To prove to the judge that it didn't work.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the car didn't work, and that's how Ford built it or beat it.
After 8 years.
Yeah.
So, again, if he's on your side, he's a good guy. Yeah. If you're fighting against him, you hate him.
Time flies when you're having fun. I'm going to do my under 40 play now, and it's somebody no one in this room has heard of and probably nobody out there, Elena Kasavina. She works with Kuna Mutual Group, and I would have her for IT security and the CIO. She's a whiz when it comes to programming. And you want a network system that nobody's going to be able to break into? You got it. She's very, very good at it. And she's 30 years old and Russian. So, I mean...
We're speechless.
Yeah. No, because we're speechless because he's right.
I mean,
we've never heard of this.
Yes.
And it's one of those things because information security is huge anyway. So if you can find somebody that can bulletproof all of your systems, and the thing that she apparently is into is not, you don't do it once. You're upgrading it constantly. So it's a moving target. And just CIO anyway is a big deal for your chief information officer, but I want somebody that's into information security too, not just information. So we wouldn't have to worry about the patent.
Oh, it's my turn, isn't it? Okay, well, I'm going to go to my under 40 choice. And his name is Lorenzo Simonelli. He will be the Jaeger VP for alternative transportation. Simonelli is the GE Transportation CEO and president. He's 38, and his mentor is Paolo Fresco, the Fiat chairman. The Jaeger Motor Car Company does not want to be just about motor cars. We know that the future is also in alternative forms of transportation. I think Drew mentioned this. We have this in mind. I have a couple of bike people in the bicycle business deeper into my bench here, and we want to make sure we've got our bases covered in the future, and we think that high speed rail and light rail will someday make its mark in the United States.
Yeah, someday it will, just like it's always been someday.
Yeah, well, true.
Okay.
Old Fusion coming soon.
Yeah, right. I guess I'll go then, and I'll jump into the deceased. Since you two just picked the under 40s, I'll go with the deceased. I was thinking about Soichiro Honda because here's a guy who started his own car company. But there's somebody else that I dug back a little bit more in history and was blown away by. I've known them all, and you guys all know who I'm talking about, Charlie Sorensen. Charlie worked with Henry Ford from the very beginning. He started out as a pattern maker, was in on the design of the original Model T at the old Paquette plant, really played a crucial role in designing the Highland Park plant, the first really mass production
The serious
facility.
Line.
The serious,
yeah, the serious line.
He was the one who did all the experiments in the moving assembly line. If it weren't for Charlie, the moving assembly line in automotive would not have happened, or it would have happened much later than it did. He's the guy who, even in the Second World War, figured out how to build B-24 bombers 1 hour down at Willow Run. And, I mean, this is a guy who did it all. In fact, he's recognized as being so crucial to the early years of the Ford Motor Company that if you go down to the Detroit Institute of Arts, where there's those great Diego Rivera murals, you'll see very prominently Henry Ford. You can pick him out of all this painting of all these people. You can pick out Edsel Ford, and you can pick out Charlie Sorensen. So I think if I had to go back in history with somebody who was started at the very bottom, knew how to design cars, knew manufacturing inside out and backwards, could take that and apply it to other stuff, in this case, material for the wartime effort, I'd love to meet this guy. I'd love to know more about
Charlie Sorensen. He was also a politician in the purest sense of the word, too, within Ford.
Well, you had to.
But I mean, and think about it. That was politics on acid back then.
Right. I relate to how you pick, though, because as I was researching these, I thought, wow, these are people I'd like to meet, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to meet the guy.
That's why I wanted Cary Grant as one of the dead men for our company. Yeah. I've always wanted to meet him, you know.
Great spokesman.
Company spokesman, Cary Grant.
Interesting that you mentioned Edsel and Henry and him. And, you know, I mean, I think of Edsel and Henry being on kind of opposite ends of the philosophy spectrum. So
right.
He was somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Say your pick again.
Oh, my pick? Who I picked?
Look into the camera and okay. Tell everybody your pick again.
Oh. Elena Casanova, and it's Khasanova. And it's pronounced, I guess, Casavana.
Did she used to be a Bond girl?
No, she was not a Bond girl.
Okay.
She was a Bond villain, actually.
Yeah.
Well, let's take it right over to Tiffany.
Welcome back, everybody. It's been a very intense time over here for that last round in the war room. These two gentlemen have lots to say, so I'll pass it over to you, Scott.
Well, there's a lot of dead people. One of the things that Autoline has been trying to do is attract a younger demographic, and by bringing in a bunch of people that these guys have never heard of and have been dead for decades is probably a good way to do that. There's certainly some interesting picks, though. Mark, what do you think?
Well, absolutely. Well, I thought when Drew was going with his hockey analogy, I thought he was going to go with a goon and get some, you know, thug with a baseball bat to be his, you know, head of labor management. So instead, you know, George Selden was a very interesting choice. I thought it was also worth noting that dying was apparently a very good career move for Sergio Pininfarina. Because if this had happened 2 weeks ago, he would not have been chosen.
Some say that he planned his death in order to be selected.
The Autoline executive draft, people are dying to get in. And we appreciate the spelling help on Jim's choice, the Russian security expert. But because we all really liked the movie Avengers, we just decided to call her Black Widow.
One of the things that interests me is that Jim is so worried about somebody breaking into his email. It makes you wonder what is on his email and what exactly is on his hard drive.
You haven't seen it?
Well, a lot of people have gone past dial-up modems nowadays. No. I was going to say I would comment more, but I don't really know that much about all the really old guys. Go ahead. You could.
The one thing. Yeah, thanks so much. The one thing that I appreciate is particularly the idea that Sorensen is somebody who understood manufacturing so well that he could still probably come in and lay out the best assembly plant anybody has ever seen, because that's probably true.
And I am hoping to see one of the auto journalists that are out there selecting pick Rudolf Diesel, mostly because auto journalists love diesels.
We do, and also the guy who created the Otto cycle engine. What was his name again?
Otto.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Yeah.
And the other thing that's surprising is Bob Lutz is still available.
And likely to remain so.
He sent out emails to a number of auto companies telling them just that.
Well, and people have to choose retired as well. At some point, you're going to have to dip into the retired bin, folks. So remember, Bob Lutz is still available.
Well, thank you guys very much for that insight on that last round. As you can tell, each round is getting very, very serious back here. I was calling these gentlemen fine gentlemen, but that might change once we get into the last rounds over here. It's a lot of heated stuff back here. Well, make sure you guys stay continued. And now right back to you, Kara.
Okay, folks, let's move on to round number 5, with the first choice being made by Drew Winter from New America Motors.
Okay, well, we're going with the retired category, and I'm picking Shoichiro Iramajiri. Iri is a guy that I've had the pleasure of interviewing a number of times. He's had quite a career, starting with the development of the really legendary CBX Honda six-cylinder motorcycle, and then went on to a terrific career at Honda. I managed the Honda factory, the giant Honda factory in Ohio for a number of years. And then kind of took a different path. It was very unusual for a Japanese executive to kind of take the path he did instead of sticking with the same company. He then went on to a big job at Sega, which is a big change of pace. He's had some health problems, I guess, along the way. But I really like the idea. I liked him as a person. And I thought he was just a genius at doing so many things that I think I'd really want him on our team.
Boy, if I were Honda, I'd want him back.
Yeah,
he was that good, and he played a critical role in a lot of the racing activities
as
well.
And he had an imagination, which we also see at Honda. Unfortunately, there's some imagination lacking at Honda.
It's gone.
That Iramajiri could really add at this point.
They need him more than you do.
That's true.
And also very unusual to remember his public relations guy was Shin Tanaka. And yeah. Shin also left Honda to go to Sega.
Yeah.
So, two unusual guys that didn't stay for life at one company.
Yeah.
Well, I have to pick a female, even though I've had, I think, a female already. But I need to do a dedicated female. And my company doesn't have a president. And so there's somebody who I remember you talking about possibly being the CEO and CEO of a car company in the future, Mary Barra. She understands parts of the business that a lot of people, she is one of those people that's, I won't say misunderstood, but heavily underestimated by people outside of the business. And her job now is really interesting because she's working like the gate for making sure they get the right people working on the right platforms. That's critically important. So I'd say Mary Barra as president of the company.
And she came through the manufacturing ranks, which as a woman is really tough. So,
well, that's just it. She knows manufacturing. She knows purchasing within manufacturing,
right,
which is critically important. And she knows product. She also knows personnel. And when you put that together, that really is a really intriguing little sweet spot for being able to make sure you have somebody up high in the organization that says, I want this person, not because they do give good presentations, but because they're actually good. Because a lot of people, one of General Motors' problems was it was full of people that were stand-in fronts that would come up and make the cool presentation. And it was like basically Gene Hagen singing at the end of Singing in the Rain, where it's somebody behind the curtain doing the presentation, but they're up there taking the credit. She can spot that, and she's very, very good at it. So I'd have to have Mary Barra as president.
Good choice. I think she's got a good shot at running General Motors one of these days.
Could happen.
Yeah.
That's what happens in the draft. I was going to name her myself just now. So I'll go to a backup for my female choice. And Jaeger Motor Car Company chooses as chief of interior design Crystal Windham. She's the director of GM's North American passenger car design and led the interior design of the 2008 Malibu and the 2007 Aura, Saturn Aura, and also worked on the new 2014 Chevy Impala. So obviously they've come a long way with interiors, and while it's not top of the management chart, she will play an important role in the Jaeger Motor Car Company.
And what's her name again?
Her name is Crystal Windham.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to remember that one.
She worked for Dave Rand, didn't she?
She may have.
Okay, it's my turn, and I have not yet picked somebody from the retired executive ranks.
Boy, one person I would go with in a heartbeat is Hal Spurlick. I might have picked him last year, though. So I figured that maybe I'll save that for next year. But somebody who I met in my career who had a big influence on my thinking about what this industry is all about and who was a real rabble-rouser, really stirred things up at General Motors, was a guy named Hulky Aldakakty.
Oh, wow. Hulky!
I worked with him for 3 years. It was the most intriguing thing I ever did. He was great.
He was a nut. He was a nut, but he was a brilliant nut.
You're going to have to spell that for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's Hulky.
H-U-L-K-I.
H-U-L-K-I. Aldakakty. A-L-D-I-K-A-C-T-I. He was a Turkish guy who, if I remember right, he was like a chain smoker, too. It was always chain and a cigarette and coffee.
And he's the guy. The Ford Fiero, or Pontiac Fiero?
Pontiac Fiero was his
brainstorm. Then didn't he go to an outside firm or something?
He did, first they pitched this car to General Motors, and General Motors said, we don't need a sports car. We already have the Corvette. And he was like, but you guys don't get it. Well, they didn't get it.
Right.
So a few years later, there's the gas crisis going on. This is circa 1979. So he, with I think Bill Hoagland was running Pontiac at the time, went back to the board and pitched it as a small
commuter car.
Economy car. And then to hide the budget, they went out, and you're absolutely right, they went to...
I think Stemple was actually before Hoagland, too. Oh, when
he
that all
he might have laid the groundwork for it, too. Then they went to Entech Engineering, where there was a guy named George Milledrag running the whole thing. They outsourced almost the entire design
A lot of it under the development of the GM80, the front-drive Camaro. Mm-hmm. Had they buried some of the budget for it in there?
And Hulky really visualized the whole outsourcing strategy. He was the one who thought this through before anybody else caught on to it. And I remember sitting down with one afternoon with him and him walking me through, this is what's going to happen. And damn, if the guy wasn't right. Everything that he said was going to happen, happened.
I remember a meeting at AVE, Advanced Vehicle Engineering at GM, and he's sitting back and we're talking, and all of a sudden he sort of goes, Jim, what about holding Velcro body panels on cars with Velcro? And we did it.
Yeah.
And it worked. It's like,
mm-hmm. And they're still doing it today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So anyway, as I sort of rattled around in my brain thinking, who's a really cool retired executive that I've met? Hulky Aldakakty
is
my choice.
Yeah,
wow, that's a name I hadn't heard of in a long, long time. Well, I'm going to pick it from the retired category because I need a really good financial person, and I'm going to pick one of my personal favorites, Alan Gilmore. I thought Alan was the CFO at Ford, just a really cool guy, now head of Wayne State University, so he's gone on and done other interesting things. Just a really strong financial guy, and you need that in a car company.
You do, but what I always liked about Alan, besides just
great
being a good person, is he knew product.
Absolutely. I mean, and how many financial guys knew product?
Zero.
Not many.
Yeah. Zero. Not only that, he was a huge motor racing fan, huge F1 fan as well.
Really?
So, he was always following what the company was doing in motor racing and in, technological and product development. And I was like, Jesus, this guy's a bean counter, and he's into this stuff. So, great choice.
Yeah, really interesting guy to talk to, too.
Well, I think I'm pretty much done with all the categories I have to fill, but I still need some more. I think I need a little bit more program management and discipline in my development. So I'm going with Tony Posawatz, who was the recently...
Yeah. Huh?
The round is done.
Oh,
the round's
right.
Done.
Oh,
yeah. So we know who you're picking next, and you'll be the last person because I'm the first one up. So maybe I should pick Tony. No.
He's pushing that IPO, and now he's trying to take an extra turn.
Okay.
We got to go listen to those yokels in the other place. Now analyze what we said.
Is it true that they're actually several hundred feet below level here at Blue Sky Plaza?
That's only got to do with their intellect.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's Studio X. We need to spell some names for them, I think.
Well, let's see what the War Room has to say about all this. Let's take it to Tiffany and find out.
Thank you so much, Kara. So, of course, another interesting round, guys. Either one?
Joining you here from an undisclosed location.
I hope they weren't talking about me, though.
Clearly, you are the brains of this operation. One of the things that I thought was interesting, this was a round that was real high in product development people, but for the design choice of Crystal Windham, I know there's supposed to be no cheering in the press box, but we actually had from one of the crew here in the room, when her name got called, we heard a little, Crystal! That's a popular choice here in the War Room, clearly.
Absolutely. And it is interesting that there's a number of executives that we haven't seen picked because there's so many to choose from at this point. When you add up the retired and the dead group, there's lots of really good people to choose from. So that explains why we haven't seen a lot of the current executives on the list.
Well, and it's also why there are always such large casts in zombie movies, because the dead do outnumber.
I thought Mary Barra was also one of the excellent picks, it was one where I think that sometimes within a company you move around and you don't necessarily grab the limelight, or certainly not in the press, but you certainly become valuable to any company.
Well, and she's clearly demonstrated that, and she's part of a duo that seems to be rising together at General Motors. She and Mark Royce seem to work incredibly well together, and they are at the heart of what's going to happen for the next few years in GM North America.
And what do you think we're going to see coming up? What are the holes? One of the things I've had is a little bit of trouble is filling in what each company needs at this point. Is there something that is still missing?
We're doing pretty well on product development. I think there are a couple of our executives who still don't have a designer. Other than Don Draper, I don't remember any real hotshot sales and marketing guys getting pulled. So those might be the areas to look for.
Well, you have to get your message out. It's also interesting that Jaeger Motors is it sounds like they're going more with bicycles in their development. That was a good strategy for some former car companies that...
And it works for Peugeot, absolutely, John. Yeah. And speaking for myself, I'm still waiting for our complimentary shots from Jaeger Motors. I mean, I'm not here for my health, people.
I thought it was interesting to see New Motors try to cheat, trying to sneak two picks in during that round. It's a good strategy, but you're likely to get caught.
And now I hope somebody else takes whoever it was Drew was going to call. Oh, and by the way, Hulke Alkidaki, great choice. Among other underappreciated cars, if I recall correctly, the father of the Pontiac Fiero.
Oh, I would really want him on my marketing and team. You might want a better marketing person if you're coming out with the Fiero. Good luck, John.
Well, thank you guys very much for your insight on that round. But before we head back to Draft Central, we're going to have a few words from our sponsors at Chevrolet.
It was more than a car to him. It really was his baby.
Oh, no. That's my old Chevy. Dear God.
Well, we have made it around the table once, so we are back to Jim Hall to kick off round six. Take it away, Jim.
We need a chief engineer. We've got a president and a car guy, but he's supposed to whip people up. I need somebody that holds the lap record for a four-door production sedan around the Nürburgring, somebody that I worked with for a number of years at General Motors and shared an office with, John Heinrichsen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Heinrichsen is one of those guys that can do a car as mundane and prosaic as Citation, and then turns out things like CTSVs, ZR1s. I mean, John knows cars up one side and down the other. He taught me so much just about what to feel in a car, and I still don't get it compared to the way he does. Heinrichsen is one of those guys. No company can have too many John Heinrichsens in it. It's a physical impossibility. And so John, who's retired out from GM, also was a rather successful racing driver in his own right. I got to say, you want vehicle development, you want a chief engineer that's going to make sure everybody is going the right direction. Can't do any better than John Heinrichsen.
No, he's a great guy. In fact, we had him on Autoline After Hours a few years ago. He'd probably be a good guy to bring back again.
Absolutely, yeah.
And no, you're absolutely right. That guy could take anything and drive the wheels off it.
And he can take a car that is still not done and polish it. It's not just performance. He also knows a lot about refining a car that's a substandard design. I mean, he's actually good at that. So if you give the guy the right parts, which is what was happening towards the end of his career at General Motors, he was making spectacular cars. And I got to say something else. While you people have been hiring people already, my team has put together two automobiles. And we're going to have them on the screen here. One of them is a sports car. It's a mid-engine sports car. We'll show a little teaser shot of that. It's called the Bestango El Rey 20. And these will be built in limited numbers. Only a few will be available. There it is. Is it not spectacular and beautiful? I mean,
limited by popular demand, Jim.
Strictly limited production by popular demand, no doubt about it. This is a performance sports car.
I think that infringes on some of our patents.
It may, but you know, you'll have to catch it, first of all. So that's the 2013 Bestango El Rey 20. And, of course, 20, as you all know, the Roman numeral with any Bestango is the cylinder count. And the other one is our first hybrid that we've ever done. This was a car, the challenge was given to Bill Mitchell to make it striking, spectacular, and unlike any car on the road. And this is the Bestango, I believe it is the El Parpidas, and it's the 18H.
When you now, say striking, does it meet PedPro standards?
If you are foolish enough to be hit by a Bestango, you want to die because it's an honor. You know, you can be hit by many cars, but rare is the person that can say, I was killed by a Bestango on Hawthorne Boulevard. And it is a Bestango hybrid, which, as you know, means, of course, it's an electric car. And it's also getting, because Parpalitas is Spanish for gerbil. And the hybrid system is from a series of wheels, and they're using the gerbils to run in the wheels to generate some electricity that can be used to power the cigarette lighter. Because, of course, if you buy a Bestango, you are a smoker. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Okay, we do not sell cars to non-smokers. And remember our motto, Bestango, you won't believe it's not inexpensive.
And you fill up at the pet food store.
You can. Little gerbil food. I think they have gerbil chow.
Aren't you going to lose the people who will want to take up smoking only after they buy your cars?
Well, they'll have to have a contract, so they will smoke.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
this actually helps us in our lifetime warranty on the car. reduces the warranty burden. I can't get into it.
Yeah. Well, I need a chief designer. Jaeger has an interior chief designer. But the chief designer will be the second of my wild cards, and I choose Peter Schreier of Kia Design because I think he's already shown what kind of designs he can do, what kind of designs he can lead, and I think he's only being held back by Kia.
No, by Hyundai.
By Hyundai. Well, by extension, of course, Hyundai and Kia, of course, exactly. And, I mean, He's been trying to get his rear-drive car to market for a long time. He does have the rear-drive car in South Korea.
In Korea, right.
But that's strictly a local market car. The sports sedan rear-drive car he wants is the one that I would want him to draw for Jaeger.
Yeah, Peter's done a terrific job. In fact, if you look at it, I only am familiar with the numbers in the U.S. market, but Kia is starting to catch Hyundai.
Yeah.
There's going to be a battle royale at the point that Kia does catch Hyundai in sales.
You know, the problem with the Kia-Hyundai relationship, just to go off on a quick aside, is that they don't completely own it. They own a part of it, and they control it. And as a result, they can only take so much of the young child, you know, sort of kicking out, because it's really a cousin that's living with them.
Yeah, there's going to be some odd manufacturing problems start to catch Hyundai in sales, no question.
An enormous amount of competition between the two groups.
Oh,
I mean, they're so competitive with each other.
Right. Yeah.
But I think what's going to hold them up ultimately is their capacity. I mean, they're just selling everything. They're both selling everything they can. So.
Sold out, right.
And headed for a possible strike.
Yeah, in Korea, right.
Well, this is a great time to grab Schreier away from
Good idea.
Yeah. Hey, Dymaxion Motors also needs a chief designer. And I want somebody who's out to prove something. And that's why I'm going to choose Kevin Hunter from Toyota, who ran runs Kelty.
Yeah.
I'm already speaking in the past because I've already thought that I've hired him.
But he's not one of the retirees.
He's not.
Young. Or the dad.
The reason I like Kevin is that we all know Toyota's been churning out plain vanilla, bland, forever. And everybody thought, well, geez, these guys don't know how to design cars. Build cars, yeah. Build them with great quality, absolutely. But they don't know how to design them. And now Toyota has sort of gotten its teeth kicked in, you know, with the unintended acceleration issues and some other quality problems. And now under Akio Toyota.
A lot of this is Akio saying, we need to make the cars. They have to be different. They have to say what we are.
They have to invoke passion in the buyers, not just buy them because it's a rational decision. So anyway, Kevin's knocked out a couple of things. They had a concept car at the Detroit Auto Show this year, the LFLC, which blew me away. It's not buildable. You know, it's a concept car, though. And, God, the thing just looked fantastic to my eye. Sexy, sharp, razor edge, you know.
What about production cars?
And then production car, when I saw the new Avalon,
yeah, okay.
I was like, yeah. Oh, my God, these guys do know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is Kevin's way of saying, look, we could do it all along. The company just didn't want to do it. And so I want him to come to Dymaxion and show what he can really do. Because to go from as bland as they were to two very exciting products, one concept, one production, shows me there's an awful lot of talent there, and Kevin knows how to bring it out of the organization.
And so many auto companies have the same problem. It's not that they really lack the design talent. They just lack the ability
A lot of these companies can't design them. They can design them. They can't get them approved.
Right.
Right.
I mean, plain and simply, it's a management issue in most of these cases.
Yeah, right. Well, and most of the segments that Toyota has played in are segments where you want to be careful because you don't want to anger your current
Until
customer.
Now.
You don't, high volume segments that, don't that reward not... radical in high volume segments. You just don't. You can push it, but there's a point at which you're going to go too far, and then boom, cavitation.
Well, and radical when you're talking about a Camry or a Corolla, it doesn't take much to be radical.
But you can see the philosophy for the Avalon. It's a relatively low volume car by their standards, right. With an aging buyer base. They got to do something to bring new buyers in. Go ahead and take the shot.
And you know, when we saw that car at New York, there was mixed reaction among the Motor Trend crowd for that car. And I when I saw the picture, I thought, no, I got to take another look at it. I think it's going to be a little bit polarizing, which is very unusual for a Toyota. That's a good thing.
Well, you know, that's what Bob Lutz always talked about. You know, if 75% of the people hate it and 25% mm-hmm. love it, well, if you don't have 25% market share,
it's
bingo, you just hit a home run.
Yeah. Right, right. On the subject of, there's a theme here of unleashing talent that's kind of been suppressed. I need a CEO, and I'm going to go with John Krafcik because I think, well, first of all, I like the fact that he's, you know, he was forward thinking when he was involved in writing of the book, The Machine That Changed the World. And again, I feel like he's sort of held down by the Korean car companies, and he certainly comes up a lot when there's openings for CEOs. So he's going to be my pick. John Krafcik, Hyundai.
Wildcard?
Wildcard.
Yeah, Krafcik, I think, is a great choice. You know, he's had success
mm-hmm.
at Hyundai. My only question is, you know, does he hit the glass ceiling? You know, is he going as far as an American can go in that organization?
Well, right. That's why I'm on
what's next.
Well, it,
been
you know,
bumping up against
seriously,
that for
it's,
a long
it's
time.
That or he is the Jim Press of Hyundai, where it's an American that gets the position, a non-Korean. And if anybody can do it, he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that might be harder at a Korean company than at a Japanese company. Given their,
I think that's probably
I mean,
true, too.
We'll probably never know.
That's why I'm taking
know.
Him.
Yeah, exactly.
What can he do?
You're still picking the guy you said before, Drew?
Yeah, if I'm alive, too.
We didn't steal it from
a little preambitive.
I can't remember who you said.
Tony
so
Posewitz.
Tony Posewitz.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, he was on my list.
And I talked to him about already, but I just also want to say, you know, it's underestimating the auto business, but you have to have a lot of courage. Really, to get mm-hmm. change in the auto industry, and aside from his abilities, is you know,
and explain a little bit of what he did.
Well, I mean, what do you do? You suddenly have to create an entirely new type of powertrain that is different from anything else that's out there, and then you have to sell it to all sorts of people, saying we're going to have it's going to have a battery, and then it's going to have you're going to have this a serial hybrid. But we aren't going to ever call it that because it's going to be totally different. The electric wheels are going to power the car. All these different it's really just a very difficult-to-understand type of technology, very, very advanced, and ultimately extremely successful in its execution. And the only problem then that we saw was that it becomes caught up in all this ridiculous politicization of General Motors and technology and everything else. But I think for him to steward the whole program, and to do that, he had to be a tremendously courageous person to get it all done.
Drew, do you have any extra insight into as to why he suddenly left General Motors? That seems
he's young.
Yeah, 52 or 53, I think.
I think he really just got My guess, I have no real interest, you know, any inside information,
right.
But I sort of the body language and everything else, I think he just got burned out after the guy invents the electric light bulb and all he has to do is put up with all this crap people are throwing at him from this ridiculous battery charges and everything else. And I think, he
I don't
felt
know. The way GM keeps plugging leaks these days, you almost wonder whether he said something to someone that got out. I mean,
I wonder, too, because a couple of weeks ago, the Secretary of Energy was in town, Stephen Chu, and they had a whole thing on electric cars and whatnot. And I was invited to moderate a panel with Mark Perry from Nissan, with Nancy Gioia from Ford, and Tony Posowitz. And Tony was out there preaching to the choir, in this case, you know, about everything great. He gave no inclination that he was tired, that he was fed up, that he, you know, I'm with Todd. I think something else happened inside the company.
Yeah, GM's been plugging leaks a bit too strongly lately. I mean, they've been going a little bit overboard on that, and you wonder whether he just
very
said something
there.
To the wrong person. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my guess is Tony's not going to have a tough time finding a new job with that kind of.
And he has the right last name, ends in Watts. I've always loved that.
But it limits, you know, it means electric vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
You should change it to ready kilowatt. Yeah.
Now let's see what our analysts think about the picks from that round.
Welcome back, guys, to the War Room. It's been very intense. We got two more rounds, but in this sixth round, you both seem to really like Michelle's pick. Is there a particular reason why you guys liked it? Scott, I'll go to you first.
Everybody loves John Krafcek. He's always really great with the media, is one of the reasons that people like him. But he's also done a phenomenal job, as they had spoken out there, that the Korean Kia, or not Kia, sorry, Hyundai, was going through CEOs like chiclets. And Krafcek has been able to stay there for a long time, and the company is still on a roll. It's still gaining market share. The cars are doing really well, and there's been a real evolution of their cars from being cheap copies to being cars that are copied.
Nice.
Well, and for years, they were just consistently two or three steps behind in refinement. It was like nobody had ever even thought to evaluate the handling or the performance of any of these cars. And they brought Krafcek, who's an engineer and a guy who understands marketing and the rest of how a company works. And he has overseen the development of a really good line of cars. Somehow or other, he has convinced the Korean executives to listen to him. And they've built a bunch of cars that Americans want to buy and they're willing to pay more for. I mean, Krafcek, I think, you know, the question somebody raised is the right one. Are there jobs at Hyundai that are high enough for him to stay there? Or does somebody, you know, snatch him away and, you know, take him to, you know, lead a company like Michelle wants to?
Well, there's certainly the opportunity at Michelle's company, though I don't think the pay is quite as good. One of the things that I thought was fascinating is during the last round, Jim showed us two designs of vehicles that people he hadn't even hired yet had already spit out in between rounds. Andy was dead.
This could be a case for.
And it sounds like he has a patented Richard Gere hybrid powertrain involved with that, which I think is going to be fascinating, though I don't know what the mileage will be.
Well, and if you look at the Bistango hybrid, the only question really is, you know, which end is uglier, honestly?
Distinctive.
It's distinctively ugly, Jim.
And I think Jim did also mention that his pick was going to be polishing his cars. And I'm not sure really what he meant by that, but I thought it was very interesting that he's already moving to the point where he's looking to get his cars washed and polished up.
And my understanding here at Autoline Central is that polishing the cars is what interns were created for.
Exactly. And hopefully they're out there right now earning their keep.
This round, you know, was one that leaned real hard on people who have done good work, that we want to see what more could they do if they were really unbridled, though. I mean, Kevin Hunter at Calte Design, you know, what could he do if he was not in a company that kind of pulls back where design is concerned, like Toyota? And John Krafcek, again, I mean, you know, if he really, you know, got to, you know, make all the calls, what would he do?
Well, it is an interesting move to pick a designer from Toyota.
Pretty much unprecedented, I would say. Yeah, not unlike picking a race car driver from GM, but John Heinrichi. Nobody could ever have a better product development guy than that. I mean, that was an inspired choice.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Well, we do have one more round, and I'm going to head that back to Kara at the studios. She'll be able to let you guys know what's going on next.
Okay, well, we are wrapping up our draft with the seventh and final round.
Okay. Jaeger needs a very deep bench in terms of product development because we truly want to build way more than five cars. So the Jaeger Motor Car Company chooses as its final draft pick under the retired category, Bob Mansfield, the former Apple vice president for product engineering. Now, who among us wouldn't want to pick someone from Apple? He retired just recently. We don't know exactly why. It might be a Tony Posowitz sort of thing. But he's been involved with Apple for several years and a little bit more in the background versus some of the more well-known product developers and designers. But he's considered one of the top people there at Apple, or was. And so he's going to be key to Jaeger's product development.
One thing's certain, your cars then wouldn't run Flash.
No, that's true. That's fine. That's all right.
Okay, I'm going to pick a CEO here, and it's actually somebody who I've never met in my life and I don't know a whole lot about, which is kind of an unusual way of going about it.
It sounds like a Hail Mary pass by your standards.
Well, it kind of is, except that when you look at the company that this guy is running, you go, my God, these guys are doing phenomenal. It's a Japanese company. It's a small company. It's a very profitable small Japanese company. And, of course, I'm talking about Subaru. Fuji Heavy Industries, the CEO of which is a guy named Ikuo Mori. And like I said, I've never met this guy. I don't know what he's like. But when I look at Fuji Heavy Industry, which is a conglomerate, by the way, don't forget, they're into rockets.
He's the CEO of Fuji Heavy.
Fuji Heavy, right.
Okay, he's not like the head of Subaru. He's the head of the Uber, the Keiretsu.
Right. But nonetheless, you know, at a time when conglomerates, by and large, have not done well, at a time when everyone says, oh, you've got to have at least 6 million units global capacity or you can't compete, here's this little boutique company that, you know, Mazda's not doing this. I mean, it sells fewer cars than Mazda, and it's very profitable. Mazda sells more cars, and it's losing all kinds of money.
It has a purchasing agreement with Toyota.
Well, no. There's more to it than
no,
that.
No, but I'm saying that helps them
that a lot. That helps. And they're co-developing a car, but, you know, the sales numbers in that are not what's moving the needle.
They're co-developing several cars.
Right. I mean, when the big earthquake hit Japan a year ago and the tsunami knocked everything out, Subaru sales never slowed down. I mean, they slowed down a little bit, 1 or 2%, but it's like these guys sailed through the earthquake like it didn't ever even happen.
Well, really, the whole recession.
The whole recession, they just marched right through. Yeah.
So, I mean, I am blown away by this little boutique company whose styling I don't really care for, whose cars are decent cars, but
good
there's nothing that I aspire to. Brilliant marketing, yeah. At least.
And tremendous buyer loyalty.
The cars have character.
The cars have character.
And loyalty.
Subaru is the company Saab wanted to be.
Saab used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Subaru was very much like that.
But Saab never got to that level of volume, right?
No, but it was an earlier time. My point is there were people that were bonded to the brand because they built Saabs. Subaru builds Subarus. The first time Subaru doesn't build a Subaru, that's the car they're going to have problems with. When they do basically a rebranded Toyota or something, if they do that car, you know, and it's possible it can be done to round out the range.
A good thing that the BRZ has the box flag.
Exactly,
box
absolutely. Yeah.
Are they doing well in other markets? I mean, we know that they hit, I think they passed 200,000 units per year for the first time in what, 07 or 08?
Yeah.
And then they kept going.
And they've kept on going.
When everybody else.
In the United States.
Yes.
And they're going to pass 300
yes.
this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes, they do well in Japan. They do well in other markets. But when I say well, it's on a Subaru scale.
Correct. They're not trying to sell 500,000.
It's right. Actually the car company VW wants to be in the U.S. at least. I mean, you know.
Right. So anyway, Ikuo Mori. That's the guy that I'm going to go with.
Down yeah. It. And you say he's the one you haven't met, you've met...
I've never met the guy.
Sorensen from Ford?
Well, Sorensen was dead. I picked a dead guy there.
I'd be surprised if any journalist had met him because he's head of the group.
Right, and no American journalist, I think, or European.
No, I have
probably Japanese journalists have met him, but probably business journalists.
I've met him.
Oh, you have?
Well,
okay.
we gave a presentation for Sport Utility of the Year there a few years ago, but only met him briefly. So.
Yeah.
Can't tell you much about him other than they have a small... very modest office in downtown Tokyo, and
because they're like Gunma District or something like that is where they're based.
Yeah.
Okay, Michelle.
Okay, well, I need a chief engineer, and I'm going to dip into my retired list.
I thought about Richard Perry Jones, who used to be a Ford, great ride and handling engineer. I don't know what he's doing these days. But I went instead. It's very interesting. I just noticed this. I have a lot of Ford picks, though. So thanks, Ford, for being my minor league team. I'm going with Chris Theodore. He's doing some interesting work right now. He's retired from Ford, left Chrysler, and did the Ford GT, of course. So he knows cars. He's thinking very futuristically, and that fits my company.
Yeah, I think Chris is a great choice. In fact, he's recently patented this sort of...
the aluminum structure.
It's
very
a
cool.
It's a tube structure.
Right, where they use the drive line as part of the structure.
Right.
It actually is brilliant.
And as soon as the show's over, I'll remember exactly what it's called. Chris has done it all. I mean, mass production car, small, low-volume sports car, everything in between at two different car companies. Mm-hmm. So.
Chris, along with Tom Gale and Jim Hall, have been judges on Car of the Year at Motor Trend for the last... Three years now, and what a great add to our Car of the Year.
We had Chris on our safety conference that we did in Washington a couple of years ago. Very strong ideas about how safety should be done. Not traditional at all. So I don't want traditional.
Yeah, we had him on After Hours, I want to say 2 years ago or something like that, and he's another guy that we will want to get back on because he's good to talk with.
Well, I've lost a few of my key picks now, but I guess I'm going to have to go with the idea that you can never have too much money and connections. I'm drafting Warren Buffett. But,
good choice.
He'll be our CFO and whatever else he wants to be. But we're also hoping that he'll he'll help us help BYD, which he already has a big investment in, and I think
has
because he's done such a great
helped
job.
Out himself out of that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, his investment.
Well, now he can help us.
That's where your $5 billion is coming from.
I can't comment on that.
Of course.
But anyway, we could.
There's some insider trading going on there, Drew.
He's got some ideas, but anyway, he has some. He's not afraid to put his money where his mouth is. He's got a lot of it, and we could use it. So we're going with Warren Buffett.
The old joke, how do you make a small fortune in the auto industry? You invest in BYD.
Yeah. And you start out with,
start with a big one, of course, right.
Yeah, it's funny because some of his movements recently haven't been quite wise. When they bought the railway and they had to split off a second category of Berkshire Hathaway stock, that was not the right
thing. Well, they just invested in GM, and it's at one of its lowest levels today.
Well, remember, buy low, sell high, okay?
Well, that's what I tell them.
It's gone lower than they thought.
BYD was buy low, sell lower.
Yeah.
Last one. I'm the last one, and I just realized I have no one in marketing. So I'm going to go to, I'm going to Michelle's farm team that she has, that company down in Dearborn that does stuff for you. I got to go with Farley. Farley is, he believes in disruptive maneuvers. He also is one of those guys that wants you to do better than you can, or better than you think you can, and he'll show you how to do it without telling you that he's showing you how to do it. He's really good doing that. He brought into Ford some new thinking, and the best example was he got in, and look at the campaign when they relaunched the facelift on the Fusion. They went from something where it was messages that were done in 30-second spots. You could tell anything they were saying. It was visually graphic. It was good. It was the antithesis of things like the Flex launch.
Can't even remember that. So.
Exactly. Or the Edge, where it's driving in the parapet of the building. I mean, he got in there, and it's like, he's like, what are you
doing? Well, look at the Explorer launch. That was very well done.
Mm-hmm. So Farley's the kind of guy I want for marketing. I mean, he's good. He also, you know, any guy that has a Shelby in the garage, a real GT350, you know, a real GT350 with 305 horse and a 289. Guy can't be all bad.
He's a true car guy, but
really
he also depends a lot on social media, and I wonder if he's going a little bit overboard with that. I wonder if
he works so far.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I wonder if he thinks that Ford customers are really stop that Googling there, Jim.
Sorry.
You know what? Well, he relaunches Lincoln because that is not a social media crowd, and that's going to be much.
Well, maybe it is.
Market.
I mean,
maybe the buyers they need for Lincoln are social media because one of the problems is you can't do Lincoln as an exit level car, and that's what it had turned into.
Yeah.
Farley's a great choice in my book, too. I mean, the guy's pioneered a whole lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
In all different things. You know, we talk social media, but look what he's done with television, the integration of American Idol, mm-hmm. which I never watched, by the way, but I think what Ford's done to market
himself is
brilliant.
He was the guy with Scion that saw Scion differently from everybody else. He says Scion is an experiment. We should not have a linear product plan in there. In other words, because he's there before they launch it, he said the idea was you do Car Like the XB, you do one generation, then you do an entirely different car for the next car. Mm-hmm. And the problem was that as Scion went along, and they started bringing new blood in it, the new blood they brought in was the old Toyota blood, and it was, we're successful, don't change it.
Yes.
You know? If
he would have stayed in the position, but the problem is it was an entry management position for running a division, so you're going to move him out of it. They knew that. But if he could have done that as an experiment, a lab, I tell you, Scion would be a very different type of a business now, and people would be looking at it. There'd be stuff that wouldn't work, but they would go ahead and do it different anyway. Mm-hmm.
He ran Scion when it was Scion,
and he ran Scion. Exactly. He did,
they should have had the same program in place that Ford and GM did, where, you know, it wasn't a stepping stone to something else. I mean, mm-hmm. that should have been, you know, the be all and end all for a certain
buyer group, level. And you don't try to sell them up to Toyotas.
Right.
It was like when Chevrolet had Geo, and the idea was that after they buy a Geo, they'll go to a Chevy. Sorry, guys.
Okay, let's head to the war room one last time to get the analysis on the final round. At the same time, we'll get the report cards on who had the strongest draft. And to the folks in the control room, can we see that great war room graphic just one more time, please?
We finally made it to the last round. I am here with my two friends. We've had a great time hanging out, seeing what everybody's doing with their picks. We do have some report cards. Let's see what you guys got.
Actually, my understanding is that the report card is something that we're going to do later. This is just a nasty tease to the
Ooh.
Viewers. The report card is something that we'll do in the after hours, after hours, whatever they call it. But I think we got some thoughts on this last round and just some sort of summing up thoughts as well. Scott, you want to go next? Go for a second?
Well, I can comment on the report card parts. Anybody that didn't have Bob Lutz is downgraded one grade.
That would be everybody gets downgraded one
so
grade.
So they're
then,
all
correct?
Starting at Bs. So you
think not choosing Bob Lutz is a serious error on their part?
Yeah, he should have been the first person taken by every person.
And he has worked for that many different car companies.
Right. Leah Coca wasn't taken.
Yeah,
either.
Perhaps not at all at the same time.
Right. Yeah, but he could still work for other people, too. That's unimportant.
Not going to fire people now.
This round, I was really impressed that the very last pick was Jim Farley, who is I agree with everything that Jim had said, that he's a great marketer, and he was kind of the role at Scion when he was there. It was not what it became. What it was designed to do is not what it ended up being.
Well, and if you look at it, it's becoming increasingly clear that nobody at Toyota actually understands what Scion is. So it's just sort of wandering around trying different things without any apparent plan.
Buffett was also a very interesting pick. It appears Drew wants to pay his secretary about $500,000 a year.
What's wrong with that?
Which is called the Buffett rule, which is pay your secretary a lot of money. There's a number of other picks. Is there any ones that stand out to you?
Honestly, I was very pleasantly surprised. I thought the categories that were created this year would lead people to reach for executives that might not be, you know, great in the job, might not actually be among the first seven people you'd pick. But, you know, with a couple of exceptions, you know, for people outside the industry, there's nobody on this entire list, I think, that any car company wouldn't want to reach out and grab.
I agree. And I also think there should have been a Bob Lutz category, which would give executives that look most like Bob Lutz, executives that act most like Bob Lutz or Bob Lutz quotes.
You're having an iPad malfunction there, Scott.
Well, this is Autoline.
Well, one other thing, though, I will say, talking about reaching outside the industry, something that, and this was a point that Tiffany made a little while ago, that if you wanted somebody, you know, who could bring a lot of capital to the effort, somebody who's got a lot of connections. It is a little bit of a surprise that nobody went with Mark Zuckerberg. Just lock him in a dorm room, give him a bunch of Doritos and Mountain Dew, and see what comes out.
As soon as you go public.
Yeah. None of us like him.
Yeah.
We don't want to work with him.
Well, you also need those twins to give him the idea. Oh. Then lock him in his dorm room and have
him get
to
work. Maybe we should hire the twins.
And now we need Drew's intellectual property thug to get us out of all this. I think.
Absolutely. And Don Draper could do that. It was a really fascinating round. We were looking through some of the teams. We're not sure if some are the under 40 picks, if they're all going to qualify. But we'll have to do a little more analysis before we disqualify anybody. I think McElroy's out.
Just on general principle.
Yes. Yeah.
No, this was very good. And we will be going through all the picks and figuring out, you know, who we think won overall. But that's something that's coming up a little bit later.
I think that you'd want any of these teams. If you were a car company coming out today and you could have that kind of talent.
Especially if you could revive the dead.
Yeah. Well, that would be a different business, and that's a different business plan.
Yeah, I changed my name. It's the Lazarus Car Company.
And think of how many Lincolns you would sell.
I think it's been another good
There time. Are a lot of dead Lincoln customers. That is one of the things that is
DeSoto's
well
DeSoto's, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's been such a great time hanging out with you guys here. We're going to head back to Kara right now at the studios.
Well, that's it. A big thank you to all of our team owners, Jim, Todd, John, Michelle, Andrew, draft analysts, Scott and Mark, and a big thank you to Tiffany Stone for putting up with those two for seven rounds. And let's not forget our friends at Productions Plus the Talent Shop and OFS Office Furniture Solutions. I'm your announcer, Kara Ann Marie, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for the 2012 Autoline After Hours Automotive Draft. We hope you've had as much fun as we have, and we'll see you next year.
Autoline After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, your journey, our passion, and by Chevrolet. Chevy runs deep.